Damn it, baby, no, I ain't lying to you. I'm only gonna tell you one time. Ah!
Live from Kenosha, Wisconsin, it's Rock Under Fire. Somebody's here. What's up, y'all?
Live from somebody's living room in Kenosha.
What the fuck is this all about?
What's what all about?
It's always good to open up a show like that. What the fuck is this all about?
What the fuck is this all about?
I almost kind of wish he busted out into another coughing fit.
I got so much feedback about that.
The cough?
Yeah, the cough.
That was the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah, somebody texted me off air like, was so-and-so doing so-and-so? I was like, yeah, he was. He was like, that's great. I fucking love that dude.
I actually made like a commercial. Like not a commercial, but like a 30-second ad advertisement before the show of his cough. You know,
I played it for my cousin. I sent it to my cousin. He was like, "That's so great hearing that raw because it wasn't edited down or anything." I just sent it to the raw.
Like Sweet Leaf from Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Oh, it sure was.
It was better, man. It was better.
It sure was. Well, I'll have it on my phone. I'll play it for you after we're up there.
I tried to recover and it wasn't working.
I guess we should start off by saying you're not hearing things. There are a few more voices in the room with us. We opened the door. A few fellas just strolled on in and they decided
every
to
time we
down.
Open the door lately, man, there's somebody out there like the mailman left.
Yeah. Don't close that fucking door, man.
Yeah.
We have to start locking it or something. We're not almost, I mean, that's, you know.
So this is what? This is episode 29, man.
Moving right along.
Damn, we've done this 28 times already.
Yowzer.
This is crazy.
Why don't you
should have held out for the 50th, man.
I got to say, I'm a big fan.
Come
I
back
listen.
For the 50th.
Come
I
back
dig
for the 50th.
I know, we know somebody listens.
I don't even know I'm going to be alive for the 50th.
I listen.
Mike, why don't you introduce our guests, man?
We have Eric and Jim.
Howdy.
Would you want last names?
I don't give a shit.
Doesn't matter to me either.
Lifelong friends.
And still childish?
It's been a childish. It's been a long time.
We have some childish friends here.
Definitely a long time.
We don't have a set topic, man. We really don't. This is just like actually the first time we don't have anything to talk about. So usually those are the ones that,
like I said, you can never shut Jim up. So
I was just going to give him. We're going to turn the microphone over himself. To Jim Ryer.
That's all right. I do have a what's going on. I took a page out.
What's
of
going on?
I took a page out of Stick's book. And I want to start reading some rock and roll books as well. I picked up Running with the Devil today, the Van Halen book, and I got to say, it starts off with a bang, man.
We're just playing that earlier on the guitar.
Good stuff. It's the whole inter sanctum of the Van Halen camp, from their tour manager and then later on manager. He's not holding any punches. He seems to just be going right at it. So
I'm hearing good things about this book.
Yeah, I heard really good things about it, specifically from Eddie Trunk.
It's a new release.
Yes. Newer, yeah. I had to get it in hardcover, so I guess it's within the last few months.
You know what?
I'll have to check.
That's
got to
be interesting reading.
Yeah, man.
So is it true that like Eddie was really the shithead in the band? Is that the case?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, okay.
I literally just picked it up.
That's the claim. Hagar, Roth, all of them. Mike Anthony.
They're probably like Kiss, like four shitheads.
They really were. And, you know, there was a lot of drinking and drugs and debauchery and, you know, what you think a rock and roll band is going to be in the 80s. And by 84, they were already hating each other. I mean, there was already, they said around 82 is when the shit started kind of hitting the fan and they just started separating and going their separate ways. You know what I found out?
They wrote the song Jump. That's got to tell you something.
I didn't know that Michael Anthony, that the girl that he married, that's his high school sweetheart. He's still married to her today.
I didn't even know he was married.
The thing, when you mentioned,
he's the sanest one.
Like, he is.
Yeah, I would say
one.
So. Absolutely.
Definitely, yeah. Absolutely. You mentioned Sammy a couple of minutes ago. I was listening to this thing with it was Bill O'Coin before he died, and they were sweating Bill O'Coin, man. They wanted, you know, Bill O'Coin was managing Kiss at the time, and Gene saw them at a club, you know the whole story.
Gene
claims to have discovered Van Halen, which is pretty much bullshit, but Bill O'Coin chose not to sign them.
Really?
Yeah. And for a long time, you know, Eddie would always remind him, like, yeah, you passed on Van Halen. And he was talking to Ted Templeman. And at the time, man, he didn't want anything to do with Van Halen either because he didn't like David Lee Roth.
Nobody
and he
liked
thought,
him back then,
well,
the
he,
way
no,
I
but
understand
he was like, you know, he wanted Sammy Hagar originally.
Gene Simmons called David Lee Roth a B-class singer that reminded him of the guy from Black Oak, Arkansas.
He was like a Vegas. He was like
Jim
a Vegas,
Dandy.
He was like a Vegas entertainer. I mean, Dave was Dave. You call him what he will. Call him what you will.
There's no Van Halen without David Lee Roth.
Yeah,
no,
he's had his place in the band for sure.
Regardless of how you feel about him, they're playing "Running with the Devil." That's gold.
Yeah,
stop right there.
Four parts made. I mean, Axl Rose is the biggest asshole probably in music, but without him, Guns N' Roses is
yeah,
not
never
Guns
happens.
Roses.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're always going to have that one link. You know, they're all better as a whole than they are as their parts, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And Dave, everybody knows, everybody in this room knows, we're all Van Halen fans. You know that David Lee Roth was just looking at him and you know he's an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, but he's David fucking Lee Roth.
Yeah,
you know?
David fucking Lee Roth.
To me, I mean, to me, he was, you know. In my teenage years, it was fucking Dave, man. He was the singer for me, man. He had everything. The charisma, he was
one of the biggest stars of the 80s, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't call him so much a singer because he like had Mick Jagger. He was a talker with a lot of stage presence, and which worked. I'm not, dismissing it by any means. But
more of a front man than a singer.
Yeah, he was a front man. Right. Absolutely. Van Halen took care of the rest, and the rest of them were fillers.
Yeah, I mean, they had a Prodigy and Eddie, so, you know, and the two of them... You know, together.
We were just talking. Me and Eric were
Dave
just talking about
Dave came up
him.
With all the melodies and stuff. You got to give him that, you know.
Do you know, like, the inner working process of their... Of their
songs, man? Like, how they wrote their stuff, man? Like, who did what?
Yeah, I thought Eddie just, like, would rip the guitar parts and Dave would sing over it.
Yeah.
You know, like, right? Because they all have credit, right?
Lots of blow.
All four.
And it was lots of coke.
Lots of coke.
And beer.
Yeah,
and, I mean, you know, he sang. See, that era of Van Halen was all about partying.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And I've said it before. You put your top down, you drive down the fucking parkway in New Jersey, and you're down the Jersey Shore, and you're listening to a Van Halen record. There ain't nothing like it in the world, man.
No, absolutely.
It's just, you know, it's just you're down there to have a good time.
Dog. You know what?
25. That, making that kind of money, we'd all do the same thing.
Absolutely.
I'd have been fucking dead.
All five of us wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
I wouldn't live through it.
I don't think I'd have lived through it.
You know what's funny, though? We're talking about this on a serious note. Like,
although,
me and Eric were talking earlier when we were jamming, and I was laughing about when he used to stay up in his room, you know, hence why he became what he became playing wise, and learn that shit note for note and got good like that. I never early on cared for a lot of Van Halen as far as the way like a guitar player would. I was more Randy Rhoads. I don't know what it was. Mm. Not that he wasn't good.
I'm a Randy guy as well.
But
and Eddie is just
I didn't
a close
start
second.
Really getting into Van Halen as a guitar player, telling him the truth on myself until like into the like late 80s, early the 90s, and I started getting into Fair Warning. Like I was way late with this shit.
Awesome album.
By far the best guitar album he ever made.
Probably
in my opinion.
Probably their best work next to 84.
And it was the lowest selling album they ever made.
Yeah.
Go figure shit. Yeah, Fair Warning was so.
It had such that movie had heart. And
there
soul,
was
man.
There wasn't any like
Dirty
hit
Movies
songs,
on that record.
Awesome. Yeah, Dirty Tune. Movies was on there. So This Is Love was the big one off of it as far as the pop chart.
Yeah,
Unchained
and Unchained. But Mean Street, the mean songs Street that you never mean hear, like hear wicked. About it later. Yes. Holy shit, man! That stuff.
And like I just said, Dirty Movies. And
Dirty Movies
on that record.
There's stuff on 84 that most people, Girl Gone Bad,
Daddy's
you know,
Little
Drop
Cutie
Dead
at the
Legs,
Sundance
House
Rainbow.
Of Pain.
Yeah.
Got the big deal in the back of a limo.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that, man.
And Sammy Hagar wasn't going to pull that off, trust me.
No, they took, I mean. Oh,
yeah, totally different direction.
Yeah, it was. I mean, everything was about love. And, you know, and I think Eddie had a lot to do with that, too, though. I mean, he was with, you know, Valerie, and that could have been the start of the wedge between Dave and Eddie.
Yeah, it was
kind of
like the Yoko John Lennon thing going on.
Really?
It really was.
He fell in love. He got married. You know, Dave was still out drinking bottles of Jack Daniels saying, hey, let's fucking go. You know?
And that said, man, in 86, when they both put out there, they went their separate ways, man. 51-50
Eat 50
Him
and Smile destroyed 51-50. Steve
say,
I
man,
was brilliant.
Eat Him and Smile was a better Van Halen album than 51-50
absolutely,
was, man.
Yeah,
51-50 is a great album,
it
man.
It is a great album.
But it's a great pop album. It's not a great Van Halen album, man.
I like the sound of it. The production was awesome. But when David Lee Roth put out Eat Him and Smile, that was like... To me, the rock and roll of that time, Bible guitar
playing. He knew what he was
holy
doing.
Shit. I mean,
he went out and got Steve fucking Vai and Billy Sheehan. I mean, he was like, I'm going to put a band to fucking gather. Right.
And Bissonette was no slouch either. He was no Manfred Mann. He was playing in jazz stuff. That dude was good.
Yeah, he put
I saw them live, and let me tell you something. Steve Vai was just incredible.
I saw Vai live.
Incredible. Well, I just saw Steve Vai. No, I saw him with Raw. But I also saw Vai just last November, too. And he hardly missed a beat.
Yeah, that dude is sick.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, the guitar riffs on that stuff was just...
Think of the two singles, man. David Lee Roth comes out with Yankee Rose, and at the same moment, Van Halen comes out with, what's the name?
Why Can't This Be Love?
Why Can't This Be Love?
I think Yankee Rose out-ass kicks that tune. And it's a good song, Van Halen song.
No, right, but Why Can't This Be Love sold more.
When it came out.
Sold more, huh?
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a pop song, you know.
Like Dreams was a pop song.
Summer Nights was a great fucking song.
Yeah, no, that awesome guitar work.
You showed me how to play.
Summer Night, you're right. Summer Night's guitar work is really good.
Incredible.
He still showed his chops. I think he he tried easing off a little bit of the keyboard.
Well, he started
stuff.
Keyboarding a little still, and you know, so
he was still doing it. But I think he said, you know, I might want to ease off a little bit. We just lost Dave. We got a whole new vision coming.
Right,
and, I mean, he still had that Dreams and stuff like that with the heavy piano.
Well, I
and
think
it fit
what was
more
ironic,
with Sammy.
I think what was ironic was, you know, Steve Vai was still a young gun. You know, Frank Zappa called him a stunt guitar player.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, the guy was brutal. And I remember reading an article where Steve Vai said, you know, I cannot believe I got such a great fucking high profile gig at such a young age. He says, I didn't know what to do with myself.
He was still in school.
Yeah.
He was transcribing Zappa's music because Zappa couldn't, famously couldn't read music. And he would send them and he goes, here, transcribe this. I read the same article. It's a
and
great,
he's going
great
against, at the time, Eddie Van Halen was on top of the world. I mean, give her pound for pound, give or take. He was it. Yeah. And Steve Vai said, you know, I was just trying to be in the moment, you know, and again, two different guitar players, but you know,
absolutely.
I think they're, you know, they're both incredible. But what I think is funny is when you look at Ross' next album, Steve Vai hung around, Billy Sheehan bailed. You know why? Because Skyscraper, you're killing me. You know, it like he started doing the California Girls thing a little bit more, that style of music, the gigolo stuff. It wasn't very. That Eat 'Em and Smile album, dude, that was lights fucking out.
He became the Liberace of metal.
Yes.
Which he actually didn't even great become way it. To he put just it. Lived up. He lived up to that because it's what he was.
There is Diamond nothing David Lee Roth ever did from Eat 'Em and Smile down, in my opinion, and even his close. And Vai played on the second one. I believe Sheehan did some of the studio bass work, but he never did anything.
Yeah, he might have been heading to Mr. Big at that point. He might have been already.
Well, he was in Talis.
Talis as well.
Yeah. That song Shy Boy was written by Talis and played by Talis.
The loudest show I've ever seen in my life to this day was Talis,
really?
Man. They opened up for Yngwie.
I was there.
You were there.
Capitol Theater?
Yeah.
Awesome show.
Fucking the first Rising Force tour, man, 1985.
Oh, that's another monster right there.
Was that Soto singing that?
Jeff Scott Soto. And
they got a band right now with fucking
your ships are burned and your people have returned.
At the time, man, that was Jeff Scott Soto's last gig. He was like, this is my last gig with these guys. And then a year later, he came back. We went to see him open for Triumph.
Is it you that posted the thing with Soto and Petruzzi and all of that?
He's jamming with...
And she
another
and
super group.
It is a super group. I can't
Freak
remember the
show
name
or
of it
something.
Off the top
it's
of
called.
Of
I saw it on Facebook.
The dude used to be in Guns Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. He's not too bad. I would have never known.
The dude from Adrenaline Mob, the drummer, and from Winery
Portnoy.
Dogs.
Adrenaline Mob. They just lost their bass player.
Yeah.
They were getting ready to. They were touring with some friends of mine, Fred from Dark Sky Choir and Wizards of Winter. They were all set to do
tour
a tour.
With
they were. And I don't know what's going on with it now, but yeah, when I heard that bass player was an animal too.
Yeah.
If you ain't heard that dude play, they got.
You saw him because he played with, what do you call it? The Christmas thing.
Yeah.
The guys from Sabotage too.
Yeah. You talking about the Wizards of Winter?
Yeah. I can't think of the name of the group, but TSO?
TSO, yeah.
TSO.
Wizards of Winter is ex TSO members.
Right.
That's where Fred plays.
I'm
totally lost right now.
Their first debut was at that benefit for him dying because Winery Dogs got back and did a couple of songs together too. That first Winery Dogs record, oh man.
I really ain't familiar with it. It's all right.
Yeah,
that's Richie Kotzen, ain't it?
He's an animal.
A Telecaster with like a quarter sword.
With no pick.
With no pick.
And singing sounded like.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
He sounds like Chris Cornell.
He
sounds
great.
He's great.
His singing was fucking believable.
The first song on that record opens up. I think it might be Elevate. But it just opens up with his voice, and I was like, whoa, I need that record. And sure as shit, worth every penny. penny.
I got to start listening to these bands you mentioned, man. Winery Dogs tonight. Last week you were talking about this new band you really got into.
Thermate.
Man, I got to listen to this shit and get back to you about it.
Yeah. Winery Dogs, I would say go for them first. Yeah. A little more mainstream, I think.
Well, you know what's
but
funny?
Thermate was really good.
Like, there's so many shredders, too, since we're on that type of topic. There's so many guys that, like, you don't know how friggin' good they really are, man, because of what they've done. Like, you know, that, like, well, Kotzen went from shredding to this more...
Fooled Around and Fell in Love, which is an awesome cover.
Poison.
Yeah. He wrote the one hit on that album, on the Poison record he was on.
That guy that plays in Rage Against the Machine. He used to be a shredder from back in the day. That dude can fly, man. You'd never know it, though. There's like one solo in all them songs they do where he like flies. I said, man, I know that guy. Because he's making all these noises like Adrian Ballou.
He's in a group now, too.
Yeah.
Cypress Hill guys. And
I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Speaking of like rap, I'm thinking of rap at this point, but did anybody watch the Defiant Ones yet? I know I keep...
I haven't watched episode two yet.
Is this TV?
I forgot about it.
It's HBO.
I never watch it.
It's a documentary about
I only
Jimmy
watched
Iovine.
The Jets lose.
Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre.
When you brought it up last show, dude, I was like, Jimmy Iovine, I know that name. I watched it, bro. I don't know if we talked about that.
No, we haven't talked about it yet.
But I watched it, and I loved it. Yeah. I'm like, I know who Jimmy Iovine is. And then the back of the Patti Smith album, Bruce, man.
He's responsible for bringing that song. And for Stop Dragging My Heart Around, he brought pretty much the way Tom Petty sees it. He's like, you fucking brought this song to me? It's my song. You brought Stevie Nicks singing it to me? What are you trying to do? And he goes, I don't know. It's all right, man. This song's going to buy you a house.
That song's magic.
It's going to buy you a house. And Tom Petty's like, I don't want a fucking house. That's my song,
give me
man.
My damn song back.
And then how they released it, it's really comical. Not comical. I mean, it's on Tom Petty's part, it's not. They released it at the same time that Tom Petty's record was coming out, and it fucking pummeled it. Because Stop Dragging My Heart Around is a great pop
it's
rock
a classic,
song.
Absolutely.
For the first time for Stevie Nicks out of the gate, it was, you know, legendary.
Yeah, no,
and
I agree.
It pummeled Tom Petty, and he was, you know, a little fucking cold about that.
Keith distinct tonight, man.
There you go.
Beatles.
We're going to accidentally kiss a couple of times.
It's the first time.
That's what happened with this mic, I'm telling you.
Me and Stick are sharing a microphone.
Stick and Mike have to share a mic today. We're short on the mic department.
Yeah. Hey, we should tell the crowd, man, we've been talking about guitars. We have three shredders here. This Eric Anelli is the first shredder.
Two and a half.
Town, man. Jim Ryer shreds. Mike DiRico shreds. Pat, you just sing?
That's it.
Me and you are the singers. Me and Pat do sing. So, all right.
We got a hell of a jam band here when we all die.
I'm a much better bass player, so let's do it. We got a band.
Two guitar players, a bass player, two singers.
I
got
to say, and I was telling Eric last time I saw him.
Play the drums?
Man.
Or do you get the name Stick?
No, stick goes back.
Is that something different?
Stick goes back to the actually.
It's his other stick.
Okay. I was wondering why it wasn't plural.
No, I'll take your word for it.
I'll tell you that later.
That's what happened to that mic.
That's like it.
Here, we're switching.
That's like off the air stuff.
What happens in the
I
rock?
I can't believe I got suckered into this.
What happens in the Rock Under Fire Studios stays in the Rock Under Fire Studios.
Yeah, Stick, stay over on that side of the table.
Oh, he'll hit you with it from here.
I'm watching.
Oh, man. Feel that on your knee?
Yeah. Sorry, Jen, I ain't never coming home.
He feeds it mice and shit. I don't know. It's some weird shit going on. This show took a Howard Stern turn in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you get these lunatics all in one place, right?
The last the one when the girls were here, man, that's was like Howard shit, Stern. Right? It took me fucking 4 hours to edit that shit out.
Man, this is what it's about. It's good to have a good time. I mean, I think sometimes we've been typecast as being way too serious sometimes in some of our shit.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you know what? It's good to be just loose and have a good time. And, you know, I don't know Eric. This is my first time meeting him physically, but I've heard that you were quite the guitar player coming up.
I got some video today of the elusive Eric.
And it reminds me, I know Eric. I know
keep
Ronnie
it to
Lincoln,
yourself.
And it reminds me that, you know, I mean, I hear stories about Ronnie the same way growing up.
Ronnie's
I mean,
a monster.
You guys were locking
man.
Yourselves in your room and banging out Yngwie songs and stuff. That's fucking
them
killer.
Two
Ronnie's
just,
one of my favorite guitar players.
Ronnie's good people,
different
man.
Zip code.
I was
our
telling
kids
Eric
go to school together.
I was telling Eric about a month ago when I saw you last, man, at Danny's party. And I'm serious, man. And I know you played guitar too.
No,
and I know
way
you. I know
you.
But listen, you were on the other side of Ford's, man. So you know, you were somebody that I would see occasionally, man. You were the guy you would like, you know, show up when we were hanging out with Nolan, man. But I knew you, you know. But I knew you, you know. You were Tim.
I'm here.
You know. But your brother was our grade, man.
What's up, y'all?
You know. So you were like this older guy that was like, whoa, you know, like this dude's tough, man. He's gonna beat us up, you know. But anyway, like,
probably did
my ass kicked by everybody else.
Is he gonna beat us up? No, Jesus, but Eric, sweetheart. As far as our neighborhood, man, I mean, we're all raised on rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, we were listening to this stuff at a very early age. We were listening to Kiss at the age of 6, man, and with probably the stuff that our parents were listening to before Kiss, man. So,
broomsticks, whatever you
And we were, them. Exactly, we were playing on tennis rackets and broomsticks. And
oh, we used
that.
To go all out. We made confetti.
But this guy, man.
We do the whole live 2 hours.
This guy.
Kiss show right in your fucking living room, shit, bro.
Up on our dressers for, like, platforms. Yeah. We were crazy.
Yeah. But infamous, this guy was the pioneer in our neighborhood, man.
Absolutely.
He was the first one to actually get a fucking guitar and plug in a real fucking guitar into an amplifier, grow his hair long, man, not give a fuck. You know,
smoke on the water.
Oh, ask my mother. About
he did everything first,
water,
man.
I remember that, like, Blackmore poster. He had that Blackmore poster on the wall there.
Yep.
He used to love it, man. And then next thing you know, it was Van Halen. And it was all over, man.
Without Richie Blackmore, there's no Yngwie Malmsteen, though. So.
But it was like, but I remember how quick it happens, man. Like, we were in sixth grade, seventh grade, man. And by the end of the year, he's playing the fucking Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, we were like,
so just watching the transformation of, you know, going from, you know, sitting in your living room drawing comic books, man. And then by the end of that school year, man, your hair was shoulder length and you were playing in a band. So I was like, this dude was, you know, he kind of did everything first, man. And next thing, you know, over the course of the next year, everybody went out and got guitars or drums or something, man. You know, and everybody was like kind of like starting a band. I'm just talking about our section of Fords, man.
I had no
and obviously
idea.
You were already playing too because he hooked up with you.
I wasn't as cool as Eric.
You were cooler. I thought you were like the shit when I was in seventh grade.
That's
I was
so
like,
funny
well,
we talk
I'm
about
hanging
it.
Out with Jim Ryer. Wow.
Dude, idolized this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, of course.
I got some bit of him throwing down breathing. Earlier, man.
Oof.
Which, he is brutal, but he's humble.
Style guitar, Strat style or
Strat
a Strat style?
Thing. Okay. Yeah.
He can take
Hendrix,
a Stratocaster.
Hendrix, okay.
Love it.
And I have it on video, so I'm not making this up. He can go from Stevie Ray Vaughan to Yngwie Malmsteen to Van Halen with a Strat with three single coils and some cheap little amp, like on half volume.
Yeah.
He hands me the guitar, right? This is what happens. A couple of months ago, I came down and he was eyeballing one of my Stratocasters that I had. And so I said, yeah, I'd like to give it to you. So, you know, I give him the guitar. And
which is awesome.
No, I'm just saying, you know, he liked it. So I said, yeah, you know, we're old buds, go way back. He's taught me a ton of stuff. So I said, least I could do. So I'm sitting there and I was just like, I'm getting a free ticket, you know, that's here, have a couple guitars because I get the free ticket. Yeah. And he's playing this thing. And, you know, again, he's humble, but I'm telling you, he's playing this thing and just going from this to that. And he's playing and I'm watching him and my jaw's dropping as usual. And he looks at me, stops, and he looks at me, he says, you know how hard it is to play piano parts from Tori Amos on the guitar? And I said, no. And he just went back to doing his thing. I mean, literally, he went from one end of the zip code to the planet to the other. And I had mentioned something about playing Tobacco Road by David Lee Roth, which I actually made a crappy video of and put it up.
Oh, you enjoyment. Killed it. It's awesome.
Thanks. And he's like, the rhythm's like four chords, right? He says, here, show that to me. I picked this guitar up, man. I can't get a note out of this damn thing, man. I'm like, what'd you do to this thing? Like, it was, I mean, really. And he picked it back up, and he's like, how long have I been telling you? It's in the hands, man. And he's right. Without all my pedals and stuff, yeah, I'm not even half as good as him with the pedals. So take the credit, bro. You really started something, and everybody wanted to be you. Trust me.
Should we talk about his six-pack?
I had no idea.
The sixth grade party.
Oh,
everybody was gonna be like, there's gonna be drugs at Eric's party, man. Ooh, and it's gonna be a toga party. You know, Animal House. Animal House was like the big movie at the time. So everybody's like, toga. You know, there's gonna be girls there, and there's gonna be drugs, and you know. And we get there, and there's no girls, man.
I was going to say, how did I miss it? They were all at my house.
Where all the like, white women
like,
at?
There was like Jen. I won't say her last name, but Jen. Let's just say Jen. She lived across the street
best
from you.
Friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she was there.
I dated her.
And there was another girl, Nicole. I won't say the last name, but Nicole was there. We played Spin the Bottle, and she spins the bottle, and it lands on me, and she goes and kisses Kevin instead.
You're not following the rules.
But no, man. So when everybody goes out to the backyard, man, you know, everybody goes out into the backyard, man, and like I'm like terrified, man. I'm not going out there. I'm like looking out the window, man, and I see like the lighter flickering, man. Like you had that dog run thing with for the dog, Bronson.
Bronson, holy
everybody's
shit,
back
man,
there.
Bronson in years.
So I'm like fucking shit in my pants,
that's
man.
Where grandpa like, lived downstairs, right?
Oh yeah. So I remember like your parents like, why don't you go outside? Why don't you go outside? I'm like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, man. So I went up there. I kept going up and down into the bathroom, man. I'm like, what can I do to stall, man? I'm looking at, you know,
I'm like
go upstairs
weed.
And check my underwear to make sure I didn't shit myself, you know. So finally, Ron walks in, and
he's not on Facebook.
I'm like.
Yes, he is.
Actually, he is now.
He is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was friends with his sister for a while, but I got to look him up.
So,
I had a good story.
He's like, Mike, come on, I got to show you something. I'm like, thank God, man. Like, saved my Ron, man, you know?
Yeah.
So now I have an excuse for not going out into the yard, man.
Instead of going out back to smoke pot, he's in the bathroom shooting heroin. Yeah. I got to show you something.
So he wanted me. So what did he show you?
So he brought me outside because he wanted to go up to the Russell's window, man, because... because Granny
to show
Granny
you mole eyes
in the fucking basement.
Nice. This was actually a pretty cool thing. You know, his parents were cool to me anyway.
Yes, they were, right? Very cool.
Yeah. And
Esther and Ron.
Yeah. He reminded me of that guy from Archie Bunker, Meathead. That yeah. No, he was really cool,
Reiner,
though, man.
Rob Reiner.
So anyway, they were very 70s at the time. Even though we were in the 80s, they were still very 70s, like the Lopers or something. But it was cool. And, you know, they were really cool, laid-back people. So Ronnie used to have this big-ass stereo. Like, he was the first one to get, like, one of those big speakers.
Right.
You know, like
I remember that. Really
you
know, into
his father was into the music. And Pyromania just came out around that time. And he's like, hey, man, come on up here, man. I want you to hear this. And I had never heard it. It sounded awesome, and that just blew my mind. Like, that was something cool I remember from back in the day. You know,
Ronnie was the first one to play us Yngwie, man.
Really?
I don't know about you, but Ronnie turned me on to Yngwie Malmsteen, man.
We're still talking about across the street from me, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Because
we would be walking to the bus stop, and he would have his radio with him. He'd be like, you got to listen to this. And he wasn't all that crazy into like the way we were, man.
No.
Right. He didn't play anything, but he was a fan.
Yeah, he was a fan.
And it was just like this one day, man.
I don't
even
think he was a big
guitar player, but he turned us on to, you know, the Rising Force album, the instrumental one.
I don't remember how I got turned on to that.
That was Ron, man.
We what?
Would hear Doesn't it. Matter,
we would,
man.
We would,
I trust your
we would
memory
hear
better
it.
Than mine.
We would hear it every day
you
walking
play it
to the
better
bus.
Than Yngwie.
Every morning for like a month straight, he
I
would
just
play
saw
it. And
I
we
know
went
what
out
I'm
and
talking
got,
about.
Got the album. And then like a couple months later,
was
we were
he
seeing
singing
him at the Capitol.
When you saw him? Did Yngwie do the singing?
Yeah, Yngwie did some of the singing. He did, and your ships are burned. I'm like, man, my God. Yngwie, and he sang, I'm a Viking.
He's calling out like all his old singers, and they're all like, fuck you, Yngwie.
I'm going to tell you something.
Fuck yourself.
Here's the thing with Yngwie. You know what? You know, he had a bad rep for being arrogant and out of shape, which he was and all that.
He still is.
Well, no.
Car wreck, though.
Let me tell you something. That dude is slim and trim. He was on fire all night. Yeah, he was one big arpeggio, but that's what you expect when you see Yngwie Malmsteen. You play.
Nah, there's more to him than that.
No, but what I'm saying is.
I mean, he was 20 when we saw him.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, he was a prodigy. I mean, he was a young kid.
I heard him play some of Far Beyond the Sun. Eric played Far Beyond the Sun earlier, note for note. Yngwie don't do that anymore. Maybe he's bored with it. I don't know.
Yeah, he plays it faster and even more wicked than.
But what I'm saying is
Yngwie hasn't.
The show was unbelievable, dude. He was kicking and kicking picks. I got a pick that he kicked out there.
Oh, he was always a showman.
The show was great. He was fit and trim,
flipping the guitar
sound for the
most.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised how athletic he was.
Yngwie hasn't played Far Beyond the Sun the same since he recorded it.
Yeah, no,
yeah, and it probably is because he's bored of it.
You know, on that metal show, they would do like the guitar. He would sit up there and play like intros and outros.
Yeah,
he was on there that night and one night. I mean, obviously, the guy still gets it done.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, there's Hell no doubt. Look, it was worth the
that
whatever,
cream
the
colored
20
fucking
bucks.
Saturday, yellow-colored
yeah,
Strata.
That's my favorite.
Gorgeous guitar.
That's what I was just playing at Joe's house. Yeah.
No, it's the...
cream with the white pick guard.
Yeah, it's a good little guitar.
I love it.
I'm not that simple.
No, you need
you know what?
You need Batman on your
that's
guitar.
That's right. Batman, everything.
I just got a new Joker coffee cup, actually.
My man.
Uh-oh.
Dude, I scored two new Batmobiles eBay for like, I went in and sniped and won one for like a dollar.
What do you mean Batmobiles?
No, like collectible Batmobiles.
Oh, okay. The little car.
Yeah, I've been on this kick, you know, vintage Batmobiles and, yeah, and vintage Batman stuff. Just cheap.
But. I'm into like vintage stereo equipment now, man. I want like a Marantz receiver. I'm looking for like an old vintage Marantz.
I gotta go through like, the stuff that's still at my father's house.
Oh yeah?
Is it bad that I'm 47 and still get comic books?
No, I just bought a couple of those too,
that's
dude.
Awesome.
I just bought a new one, Lobo Superman Batman, a one shot. Yeah. Bought a box to house them in, too, because they were getting out of hand.
Driving my daughter and I drove my mother up to a doctor's appointment. I can't remember what fucking town we were in. But, you know, I said, ah, let's just walk around. We got a wafer or whatever. We park. We're walking around. Comic book shop. I'm like, oh, cool.
What's going on back there?
I don't know.
Just fucking.
Oh. I'm like, oh, comic book shop. Boom. Well, you walk out of here.
What are you reading $40. These days?
There's some Marvel stuff that... based on some Stephen King books, The Gunslinger.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
always reading. One of my favorite Stephen King.
Yeah, the whole series is great.
Yes.
And they did really good graphic novels, like six of them, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Still reading Daredevil. I love Daredevil. He's probably my favorite dude.
Did you check out the TV show?
Which one? Yeah. Not for
so
Dark
you start
Tower.
Talking TV,
no,
you lose
Daredevil.
Love
sorry,
oh, Daredevil. Love it. Netflix.
I never watched
it. Phenomenal.
No, yes. Me neither.
I'm with
The Walking
you.
Dead.
I can't
like,
wait
only
for season
Jen
two.
Enjoys it. That's like Sunday quiet time.
Yeah.
Walking Dead and Preacher. I do like Preacher.
Preacher's great.
Yeah. No,
that's
I do
great,
dig that.
Read that comic. It's better than the show. I mean,
read,
the show's doing really good.
I read it a while back, but I didn't. It's the show. Is,
yeah, the show. This
I'm
really well done.
I like how he got rid of
new comics that come out.
Like yeah. I like I said, we went out to Catskill to check out her cat, and they have a gaming store that does some comic stuff there. And I actually met the owner. I'd been in there a million times, but the owner was like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, so and I bought a new comic, you know, and they're starting to beef the comics back up. I predominantly stick to Batman related because what happens is I start like another shit, and then the next thing you know, I got 5 million of that. I can't have that happen.
We found a spot when we were in Texas in April. My cousin showed it to me. It's a huge store, unbelievable. And Riley got I got her the Killing Joke. It's the they had the graphic novel version of it. So I said, "All right, cool. You know, if that's what you want."
I got
it's a little,
it.
It's a little serious. She goes, "Ah."
Did you get the hardcover?
No, I didn't get the hardcover one. I got her softcover one.
I was at FYE, which is for your entertainment, obviously.
Is that what that stands? No, I didn't know that. FYE, I didn't know that.
And they're closing down. I almost wound up with that life size Arkham Batman. That they had it down to 750, man, and then they dropped it to 6, and somebody bought that.
That one at Woodbridge has Deadpool over there.
They have Deadpool still there for 600.
My cousin goes, Riley goes, "Aaron, you should get that.
That would look great, right?"
And Aaron, my cousin Aaron goes, he goes, "I think the divorce would be cheaper."
That's what Jen, she's like, "Where are we going to put it?" I'm like, "Really?
I don't give a fuck
put
where
the
I
fucking
put
thing
it.
In the bedroom." I don't give a shit.
I'll put him right on the fucking roof. I'll nail his feet into the front lawn and just fucking stand out there.
Shit. Where are we going to put it? You're moving out.
That's the least of the worries. It's just let's get it home first.
Yeah, all right.
Remember we used to draw comic books?
Hell yeah.
We used more red ink.
This guy with the red ink, man. Everything you drew had somebody getting stabbed or shot up.
That's good.
That's comics. That's right. I forgot you had an
As peaceful as this guy is, man. He's like a little fucking Buddha, man. You know, but... Like you were you weren't violent kid, but you were like obsessed with like guns,
right.
Man,
and
like knives and weapons, man. You go into his basement, man, he'd be like making like fucking nunchucks.
Yeah, you're right. Now I think about it. I remember going out
like everything, like
time.
You know, like
some Chinese star.
You had like
no,
a bunch of you had like you had like it. I remember you had like replicas, man. That were like the real, looked like the real deal, man. It was like I remember you had like an automatic .45 on your wall, man. It was like heavy.
Yeah.
We didn't have iPads and iPhones.
No, man, we didn't have none of that shit.
But
we had our minds.
We would like invent entire movies in the form of a comic strip, man.
Yeah.
All your characters were like cop who just like wakes up hungover. He's like all hungover, man. Always eating like pizza and beer for breakfast. You're like, "No, man, it's not just pizza and beer, man. It's warm beer and cold pizza." It's like,
"O'Malley, wake up. We need you at the station." Irish cop.
You guys ain't right.
But yeah, man, it was always like, you know, we were like always like shooting like guns, man. Yeah, like everything had, like a shootout, man. Was. Or like some kind of like trap or something that you would build for somebody to try to get out of, man. You like tie somebody to a chair, man. I remember one time, man, it was like no, there was like no rope. Like you were like looking for a rope, so he was like, we went downstairs and he fucking like rolled me up in this fucking carpet. He had this carpet, like this little carpet on the floor, man, in his grandfather's room.
I think I was glad it wasn't me.
And he fucking rolled me up in the carpet.
He's like, Mike DiRico already.
He's like, see if you could get out of that, man. I'm like,
he's like, roll him in a rug and throw him in the Raritan Bay.
He was all on the down low.
I was obsessed with Houdini when I was
Houdini.
And I remember, man, I was
break
like,
out of that, bitch.
You went away. Like, you went either downstairs or upstairs and left me in the carpet. And your fucking grandfather's there with the crossword puzzle and the magnifying glass. And he's playing that Freddy Fender, man. Like, somebody done somebody wrong.
Sounds like a David Lynch movie, man.
Holy shit, you got
a Dorico taco wiggling around.
And his grandfather, I remember your grandfather was always listening to like Charlie Rich or like Freddie Fender or one of those. Like, it was always like that, you know, hey, can you play another somebody done?
Like I said, it's a fucking, sounds like a David Lynch movie, man.
This is what went down on the way other side of Ford's. I wasn't from that side.
You weren't
you're
far.
The other side of the bridge, right?
Well, no, I wasn't. I was
right at the bridge.
I was right at the bridge, that's so right. I was technically Murdoch still Extreme. New Fords as
new
our
Ford.
Friend Rob down in Florida, I don't want to say his name, would say, we were old Fords. If you were on the other side of the bridge, the Turnpike Bridge there,
yeah,
you were old Fords.
Look at us. We're all
anything,
new Fords.
Yeah, so I'm technically still new Fords.
Yeah, you're new
so
Fords, man.
Those books kept getting fatter and fatter,
you're
too,
in the heart
man.
Of it.
You're like, always like trying to, almost like we were trying to outdo each other yes. for a while, man. She's like, and you're like, my mom said I could curse in mine, man. I said, well, I can't curse in mine.
And then I showed up and set your amplifier on fire.
Oh,
and that
silver
was it.
Tone.
Yeah, tell man. The story, bro. Go ahead.
That changed
man.
Everything,
great,
man.
Dude, you're on fire.
The silver tone amp.
We were all smoked up. That was great.
Well, the bag of picks was stuffed behind
stuffed
the tube.
Behind the fucking tubes, yeah.
But you came over and started wailing. Actually, you were the reason that I think I started wanting to play guitar.
It was something
I don't
like
remember
it, whatever. Like, I had gotten an Ace Frehley because I was big on Kiss, obviously.
And weren't we all?
Yeah.
And my parents got me an Ace Frehley looking Les Paul knockoff.
Sunburst looking.
Yeah, but it was cool as fuck. And so I go over, I'm like, Eric, you got to see this thing, man. And then you wound up getting that black one after I almost blew up your house
court,
with the silver
right.
tone. So he had this old silver tone from the 70s,
with the
late
12-watt amp built in the case.
Built in the case.
Sears.
It was Sears silver tone.
It's got little three or four tubes in the back of it. Well, he's got a bag, a plastic bag with nylon picks behind the tubes. And I don't know it. So we plug him. We're in his little room. If you guys, you've been in that little shoebox.
I remember.
Like
holy 8 by
Christ,
10.
Man. It was like 8 by 10. So I'm going, playing like I'm doing something, making all this fucking racket, and the amp starts smoking. And he's like, dude, you're on fire. Yeah, and it was. And it, oh my God, it killed the whole damn house. We opened the window, threw that off the out the fucking window to the, in the, you know, onto the front yard. His mother was like, oh.
Surprised that didn't happen more often.
The whole fucking house, like had a haze and smelled like bad plastic.
Smoke some weed, that'll get the smell out of the house.
We were all moked up to begin with, man, but his mother was not happy. I'm like, I'm out of here.
All right, Jim, now you met, I didn't notice about you, but now that you mentioned Ace Frehley and Love Gun, I could say this, and it's great because you guys play guitar, deep rock and roll, right? I'm comparing my two obsessions in life, nature and music, and I'm comparing rock bands to sea creatures. And I imagine that Kiss is a great white shark. Fucking badass, right? But, it's up there. It's up there. But Zeppelin is a fucking killer whale, man. I love Kiss, but I ain't so crazy to say that they're better than Zeppelin. You know, a killer whale will eat a great white shark. So my question is this.
Is that a fact?
My question is this.
Where is
Blink-182
is just a guppy.
Stun him and then fucking tear the great white shark apart. Make him like a punk. Here's my question. Is Ace Frehley closer to Jimmy? Unless you disagree with the whole premise, Jim, you might. But is Ace Frehley closer to Jimmy Page in talent, skill, and status? Or is Paul Stanley closer to Robert Plant as a vocalist and skill? Notice that Peter and Bonham aren't even up for discussion.
Yeah.
But is Ace closer to Page? Or is Paul closer to Plant? Or do you disagree completely?
I would say Ace closer to Page.
I certainly agree. Nobody had a voice like Robert Plant, man.
Oh, no.
Not even Paul in his prime. And Paul was great in his prime, but
not Robert Plant. Oof, yeah. Oof.
I always thought of.
I disagree, but I'll wait for Jim.
That was a you know what?
Wild analogy.
Here's the thing: putting Ace Frehley as far as in the same category as Jimmy Page, that just don't fly to me. Period.
Yeah. Now, different guitar.
No.
I always thought Ace was a poor man's Page.
Ace is a stellar guitar player, and he's one of my idols for sure. There's no doubt. But as far as pure skill, like when they're both playing at their best. Jimmy Page is definitely, you know, he's a much more talented, he's more virtual.
Knowledgeable, too, because he experimented with different tunings, and, you know, he did a lot of different things. And I'm with you. I love Ace. I'm from the school of Kiss as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but Jimmy Page was, he's a god. Ace Frehley, yeah, he's not at the...
kind of apples and oranges.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far as singing, Paul Stanley was a totally different type of singer, but and you might disagree with this, but I always thought Robert Plant, he was a good singer, but he was like the Bon Jovi of the late 60s and the 70s to me. It was his appearance. His singing is good, but I wouldn't put him as one of the greatest singers, just my opinion. Not Paul Stanley either. So
I think you're saying it's because Plant was kind of pretty in a way.
Well, he was a showman he was David Lee Roth with a voice,
mm-hmm.
just in the 70s. Yeah. And this is no disrespect to these people. Again, this is just all opinions. Yeah. They're like
I wildly disagree with.
No.
I do too.
But here's the thing. What I'm going to say is that Paul Stanley is not. It's like putting Ace Frehley against Jimmy Page, kind of.
I wouldn't even put Paul Stanley in the same.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's.
I think Paul's voice. Don't underestimate the power of Paul's voice,
no.
man.
He's awesome.
Paul Stanley's voice is. I mean, at his peak, man, in his prime. His prime,
how
I'd say,
did
was
come
from
up
like
with
the,
this.
I don't know, but
a stick. Sorry, I'm just.
Welcome
I,
to
I would
sticks
say,
animal kingdom.
I would say that Paul is closer to Plant.
Sharks.
Say it again, bro.
No, I would say Paul is closer to Plant than Ace is to Jimmy because Jimmy,
really?
I love Ace. Don't get me wrong. He's my fucking first guitar hero. Very few guitarists crafted a guitar solo the way Ace did.
Okay? Yeah, I'll agree with that. Absolutely.
His solos were the best parts
like
of the Kiss
Jimmy
songs,
Age.
Man.
He's 20 seconds to blow your mind.
If you can hum a guitar solo, it's a good guitar solo.
Absolutely.
All right. But Ace was very limited, man, in what his knowledge of the neck, man. He never broke away from that basic pentatonic scale. Everything
right.
he plays is in that. He's also very limited, and which means he's also very repetitive.
Well, Kiss was very straight.
Shock me.
Jimmy
rock and
Page
roll
more than Zeppelin.
Was a compositionist, man. To craft 10 years gone. Or to come up with just Cashmere or anything, man. You know, any of those Brongniart, man.
Epic.
Or epic anything, man. The song remains the same. The Rain song. These are things that
touching my heart.
I mean, again, I love Ace, man. Don't get me wrong, but I don't like Ace. Doesn't have the skill or the knowledge to even begin to craft songs like that.
No,
but he made great solos, man. What he did
was a gimmick that actually started to produce some decent music, and you know, and they ruled the fucking planet in the late 70s, mid late 70s,
yeah,
early 80s.
Man.
Led Zeppelin was not as big as them at that point. I'll say that. They ruled the fucking world because Led Zeppelin was about done at that time.
I'll shut that down, man. Let me shut that down.
Mike and I.
Let
both
me shut
agreed.
That down.
77 Led Zeppelin. Him and I both agreed that's a show that we would go back in time to go visit.
I would be with you in a heartbeat.
I don't know. We went through this thing about how Jimmy Page played live earlier, man.
Yeah,
and
Zeppelin wasn't at their height in 77.
See, the worst thing I've ever heard said about Jimmy Page is that he's sloppy.
He's
that's
horrible
not a bad
live.
Thing.
Fucking
that's not
horrible
a bad thing.
Most blues players are.
But he was strung out. But
check this out, though.
Strung out, though. But Jimmy was in fucking bad shape in those years, man.
Yeah, but you know what we were just talking about earlier? But Stevie Ray Vaughan, great example. When that dude was in his worst of his height of addiction, he was the fucking playing the best. He got sober and went downhill.
He wasn't sloppy.
But
no,
I'm saying, like, there were
Jimmy
there
Page,
nights, man, when he was literally
technical.
Sick on stage.
Jimmy Page... During the Zeppelin years, and this is just a fact, and he is one of the greatest guitar players ever. I am not going to disagree with that composition. He's a virtuoso.
Right.
Ace Frehley is not in that realm.
Yeah,
you know, like that. but Livey was horrible.
And I know you know that.
You can't say that in a general statement, though.
Here's what I can say.
Because I've seen some live Zeppelin where Page more was of it just was incredible.
Not, more of it was not good than it was good.
I can't agree.
Hey, here's the thing. Here's what we can agree with. Check it out. Again, just from my guitar playing perspective, I'm nobody. When Jimmy Page got cleaned up after Zeppelin and him and Paul Rogers put the firm together, I saw them play, okay?
That was
the best guitar I've ever seen Jimmy Page play or anything in my whole entire life. And that first album, The Firm... No, forget that song.
It's still a good song.
No. What I'm saying, I thought you were being that's the played out one. There's shit on there. They covered Lost That Love and Feeling by the Everly Brothers.
Right.
Midnight Moonlight. That is some of the best shit he had ever wrote. And guess what? He could play it live, and it sounded perfect.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw my fucking monkey wrench right.
Do it. Do it.
Instead of fucking Ace, I would have immediately said. And I'm a Kiss fan, but I would have went for Eddie instead of Ace. I could easier relate Eddie Van Halen to Jimmy Page than I can Ace.
That'd be a better fight.
Yeah. Well, I think because Ace is closer to Page than Eddie Van Halen is closer to Page.
Style-wise.
In a sense of style-wise.
Innovation? Yeah. I'm talking completely innovative. I mean, he did shit on a guitar that nobody was even
thinking
about.
Eddie Van Halen innovated more on the guitar than Jimmy Page did pound for pound, I'd say.
I think he's more responsible for... Outside of this room,
right.
Eddie Van Halen, I think, is more responsible for a kid going and picking up a guitar than Ace ever was.
Agreed.
Ever.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that
me,
Paige
but
is not better than
Van Halen. And I said, outside of this room.
Ace made me pick up the tennis racket, man.
And outside of the guys in Anthrax, because, I mean, we
me
all
too.
Love Ace, really.
Yes.
But if I was going to play a guitar, I probably would have been like, oh, I want that fucking red and white guitar that he fucking built in his basement.
No, what Van Halen did for the guitar, he took something. He took a lot of Holdsworth-type stuff, which he has admitted over the years. And he didn't get into
Holdsworth till 84.
And...
He never even heard Alan Holdsworth.
That's what he said then. If you read the current stuff,
but
you can hear
the Holdsworth in it.
Oh yeah,
on 84,
you can hear
it.
Who's your warning?
Who's your guy?
Oh, come on, dude.
Who got you? Who made you pick up the guitar? Which one?
Oh man,
he hates
Richie Blackmore. There's no one in particular.
No, he hates this.
Tough question. It is tough.
Make it easier. Name three. We'll give you three.
All right. Because
it's hard to narrow it down to one person.
True. Ronnie Lako.
I'd have to say Ace Frehley.
Ace is in there.
Jimmy Page.
Love it.
And definitely Richie Blackmore. I was a big Deep Purple fan. And I didn't get in.
Purple number one.
And Hendrix. Guys. I didn't get into Hendrix till later in my life.
And all those
you
guys
started doing LSD.
But I love Hendrix.
We're playing Hendrix back then.
Back then,
yeah,
no.
It was all Rhodes, Van Halen, Blackmore.
Yeah. I didn't appreciate it till later
in
my life.
Nah, later in life, man.
Naomi had riffs that anybody could play, you know.
Well, yeah, we were just young '80s metal. You know,
and then those three guitar players all intertwined into like different. I mean, they gave you a whole different perspective into all other things. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great foundation to have. You know, we were talking before, Blackmore going into the Yngwie thing. I mean, you knew Yngwie was, you know, Yngwie loved Richie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the disciples of Ace and the disciples of Page. I mean, you know, it just takes you down these whole different roads.
I saw Yngwie open up for Ted Nugent with Alcatraz in like 1983 at Great Adventures, dude. I was on a blind date with some wild Samoan looking chick.
Bonnet?
Cool
show like that. Graham Bonnet, right?
Graham Bonnet, baby. Yeah. And Yngwie, I remember, I didn't even really know who the fuck he was. I know Steve Vai had played in the band as well.
Were you playing guitar yet?
A little bit, yeah. It was not. Yeah, it was like the.
So did you go like, whoa, who's this?
Yeah,
dude?
Well, yeah, and I'm like, and I remember him taking. He was still playing those white or off-white type straps.
Yeah,
and he smashed it, and he had the strings hanging off the headstock, and he threw the damn thing out in the audience, and I was like, wow, yeah, and you know, I was like, I never seen any shit like that. I mean, you see like the Who do that crap, but. And then Ted Nugent, who I've always thought was good. You know, he's not a master guitar player, but good writer.
He rocks.
He
rocks, man. Yeah.
And this was in his height. Like, I think Free For All was the big deal at that time. You know, it was right around that Stranglehold and all that shit. And he was on top of like six Marshalls.
He had the trampoline.
Dude, he had this fucking jungle outfit on. I mean, it was awesome. I was like, who? Whoa. I'm like,
we saw Ted open up for Kiss, man. And that's how we started the show. It was like all black, the lights are out, and then as soon as the lights go on, man, he's gonna jump off and dust off the fucking thing, man.
Yeah, the guy's like 10 awesome. Foot tall. I mean, he looks like a maniac. I was like, holy shit, you know.
See,
so.
I would ask the question of instead of the three guys that you found most, you know, beneficial to you playing guitar or crucial to your picking, what can you pinpoint it? What actually made you say, okay, I'm going to play guitar?
Jim Ryer.
Girls.
Girls. Was it women? I mean, 90% of the time, it's women or money.
Or fame. I think it was my love of music.
Yeah, okay. He was a musician.
Being, you know, that into music, growing up with it my whole life, it was inevitable.
It was the next
I had to.
Step
yeah.
The tennis rackets.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's like we're getting a little old for this, man, jumping on the couch with a tennis racket. I have this vivid memory, man, of being in your basement and standing on top of a table just like this.
Yeah.
Singing. This is like 1977, man. We're like six, seven
years old. Yeah.
And singing Rich Girl, man, from Hall and Oates. With tennis rackets, man, jamming out to Rich Girl. She's a bitch girl.
Doesn't he does say bitch in it, though, because he says it's a bitch girl.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's a bitch girl, yeah. I was a big fan.
I don't know why I remember that, but I do. We were both standing on top of the table, man.
You ever watch
the
show
Mother was watching
in Philadelphia?
Us.
I could never get into it.
Charlie Day on that show thinks that it's one person. No, he goes, it's Holland. It's Always Funny in Philadelphia.
Sunny.
He goes, his first name is Holland, and his last name is Oates. Holland Oates. And he looks at him and goes, it's Hall and Oates. He goes, no, it's not. You got to look it up. Holland Oates.
Yeah, I bet you there's people who feel like that.
That's my first concert. Liberty State Park.
I love Hall and Oates, man.
Cool. Yeah, I love them too.
Hall and Oates is great, man.
It was Hall and Oates till Tuesday and Gary U.S. Bonds.
I'm going to tell you something. You would ask the question about him musically, and in all seriousness, because I remember these days. He was always, you know what, this guy's a student, and that's, you know, he always was wanting to know more. Like, I was busy chasing women, just, you know, trying to be the man. I didn't give a fuck about getting any better on the guitar back then. You know, I was stealing everybody's whatever they had to show me and just putting it together.
I was on a quest, man.
He would just lock himself in his room building guitars, you know, just mastering shit. And that's what makes the difference between, you know, a good guitar player and a great guitar player.
Amen.
And that is the difference. And he is still one of the best that some people will never see or hear about. Trust me.
We were watching TV. This dude was toiling, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. He was brutal. Absolutely.
So, regarding Page, man, you know, you could say that Hendrix is sloppy too if you listen to live shows, but you know what? But you know what, bro? I got limited patience for that, because with Zeppelin, the little bit of slop in Page's playing just makes it. I mean, it's divine slop. It's divine slop.
You know what it is?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
It's not. Here's the thing. I don't want everybody to take it like I'm like. I've always been the type of person, a musician, where it's. I want to hear what I've been hearing on the album. I don't want to hear what the fuck you got in your head.
Really?
If I'm paying for the ticket.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a different school of thought.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from.
I'm completely opposite of that.
Yeah, I'd like to loosen up a little bit.
Total opposite. Yeah.
No. And it's cool. Like I said, it's not wrong or right. It's just.
No, I know a few people.
I want to hear what I've been practicing. Like, you know, Judas Priest was an excellent example of good live.
They
stuck to it, man. You know what? And some people say, well, it's repetition. But you know what? That's what I've been hearing for years on the album.
Yeah.
A little going off into Nowheresville is good. The Grateful Dead are very good at that. And I can tolerate that. I shouldn't say tolerate. I do enjoy it. I've been to a lot of Dead shows, so I can say, you know.
Brothers, too.
Yeah, you know, and there's a place for that. But there's a difference between playing something a little different than the album and being sloppy.
I agree with Mike. It depends on the band and the songs, you know. If there's room for that, some musicians write songs with room.
Yeah,
for
I'm not against going outside the box, man. I mean, you know, it's cool. You get bored of playing the same shit over and over. I'm sure you've been playing a song for 10 fucking years. You want to, but you know, make it as good, if not better. Don't make it. You're just so fucked up on stage that you can't play.
that's the thing, man. That's the thing about drugs, man. When you bring drugs into the equation, man, whether it's acid or heroin or whatever it is, man, the drugs are friendly to spontaneity, man. That the most creative artists, man, and this is a fact. It's not my opinion, man. This is a fact. And it's not just with musicians, man. It's with artists, man, painters, man, jazz musicians, man. Anytime somebody was fucked up on stage, man, where it just like expanded their the route that they were traveling on, man. Instead of going here, 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 they went all over the place.
They weren't
man.
As linear.
Well, keep you in know, mind, exactly, and I can say man. This part from experience, being very serious, as you all know, and most of the world knows, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've got 3 years since July 6th, so I know a little bit about playing fucked up and not playing fucked up.
Right.
And I am by far 110% more accurate and a better guitar player
man.
At 48
awesome.
Years old than I ever was in my prior life
that's
on a regular
basis.
That's
fucking great, man. That's fucking great.
So that's what I'm trying to convey. You start listening to it and see, you know, there's a big difference between. I thought I sounded fucking great. I listened to some of these videos. I listened to some of these videos that I used to put up before I stopped drinking. I'm like, I put that up there. Holy shit.
But I mean, you know, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not condoning anything, man. I'm not condoning
no,
you know, but
I'm just saying
that if you look at like the history of music, man, and which artists did what. You know, like, why is the 60s? Why were the 60s so fucked up? Like, how did we come about Sgt. Pepper, man? How did fucking, like, where did that come from?
You know,
it wasn't
Beatles
just technology,
thing,
man.
Pat?
Like, they had the technology, man. But, you know, they were eating acid, man.
That'll
you know?
Fire them up. No, like I said, it all
why,
had
how did
place.
How did Coltrane play Love Supreme? How did he come up with Love Supreme, man?
Love
from going
Supreme.
Like from
no, I think from the and from a guy who's done plenty of drugs too, you know. And I have no problem with people doing their thing. I just choose not to do things anymore.
Right, that's a good thing, man.
But for me, it is.
We're getting older, man.
Well,
and
you know, I'm
certain,
just things I'm more into taking care of myself as best I can.
I don't know how they can do that. I you know, shit. I haven't done drugs in I don't know probably fucking 25, 30 years. I could never. I could never do that. You know,
do what?
Just,
do what?
Play and do drugs. I'm never able to. Drinking, yes, and I still do to this day. But I was never able to get high and get up
shit.
In front of people.
I've done a ton of it.
Never do it. Never.
High, straight, drunk. I'll play. I don't care.
Drunk, I'll play drunk. I'll hit a heartbeat.
But now you know what? For some people, I think you know it brings out the better room. Like I said, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and rest in peace. In my opinion, and even in your opinion,
I did like
Eric's
him better,
opinion.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That early stuff, man, when he was all jacked up, dude, you couldn't touch that cat.
Yeah,
he smoothed out a lot and was still one of the most awesome guitar players ever. But you know what? I wouldn't say lost a step, but this is just an example. But it wasn't what you were accustomed to. And that guy could do it live. Man, his live performance, he'd be breaking strings, changing guitars, just keep going. And I mean, like, it's
just. He's better when he's using
it. Yeah, okay. I'd say so. But
the Beatles, I thought, were better when they were high.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's sometimes it works in the favor and sometimes it doesn't.
And I'd have to say the Stones probably too. They were much better when they were all fucked up.
Yeah.
Depends on the people. Some people handle drugs.
But I'll tell you what.
Some
I went
people
to see,
can function.
About
some people do Brian Jones.
See, because like I said, if the question was, are we comparing Ace Frehley in his prime to Jimmy Page in his prime when without, you know, just that ain't even a conversation. But, you know...
Now we have come full circle.
What I'm saying is there's so many variables to it. And again, it's all opinions.
I went to see about 10 years ago, man. It was a little over. I went to see the Eagles. And that's a band that plays note for note, man.
Yeah.
Because there's really no room in spontaneity for that group. They're all like pinpoint fucking total... Like Don Henley's all about perfection, man. And they sounded great, man. You know, it was like listening to the record... But they were great, man. That's a band that's like, you know, like I said, it depends on the group.
Yeah,
Steely Dan,
I agree.
Steely Dan's another one, man. And like you said, Priest, man. A lot of those metal bands recreated the albums note for note, man. And
it's what I dig. That's all. You know what doesn't make it right or wrong? It's just what I dig. Yeah. I because here's the thing. When you're in the studio, and I've been in the studio, I've recorded, you have, you probably one way or the other. You get a million tries, man. You know what? But when you're right up there and you got one shot to get it right, I want to hear what you wrote. I don't want to hear what you might could play or, you know, how do I know you can really play that? Because you're not showing it to me. On the record, you could do. Van Halen said the same thing.
It's a good point.
He was another one. He said, you know what? I practiced note for note in the studio, and I would have time was so trashed out there in the 80s and whatnot that, like, it wasn't exactly, you know... Yeah. It's like, what are you doing, dude, for some of it, you know? And so that's where
even Eddie, watched Eddie play, and you were saying to yourself, what the fuck, Eddie?
Some of it's like, some of it's great, and some of it's like...
Yeah, huh?
But here's the thing. He wrote it. He owns it. I can't play it.
I think Van Halen...
I can't play his worst shit.
Van Halen in particular, I think it's difficult because they're going to sound a little thin. once he starts going off, I mean, there's nothing else behind it except Michael Anthony at that point. Who's a great
That's
bass
the one
player.
Thing I always loved well, about yeah, Van Halen and the recording of Van Halen.
It definitely thinned out. I mean, recorded versions of their songs is
yeah, but you know really what? They were doing it straight up on a lot of the recorded they stuff, were, but yeah, they were filling yeah. up. And that's what I always loved about Van Halen. Yeah. He didn't use a lot of backing guitars. Where Jimmy Page, right. he was playing five different fucking tracks on every damn song.
Yeah, yeah, but it that's really was. You can't genius in its own right.
You can't reproduce that live.
That's the problem. You're never going to sound
you can
like
get
what you
the
made.
General
out of
idea.
Yeah, with two other guitar players.
No, I don't think any of Zeppelin's live material was lacking. Like
ever. I don't either.
I don't know. The song remains the same if you really listen to it, and they admitted it. They buzzsawed that, man. They put so much studio enhancement into yeah, that. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Any live album, though.
Nah,
I don't know. I don't know of any other case in a live album the way the song Remains the Same was cut up and taken like pieces from three different nights and like something like.
No, but what I'm saying is they incorporated a lot of studio. Like,
oh yeah,
like,
oh yeah, definitely.
The solo sounded so bad, or a part didn't
show
sound.
Me,
yeah.
Show me a live album that where they didn't though.
I don't know. Kiss Alive, the first one.
Kiss
yeah.
Totally
I don't know, man.
Not totally, but
no. Alive 2, I think.
I've listened to the. I've since listened to Alive the two. Source tapes, man.
Alive 2 has got a lot more going on studio wise, but the first one yeah. was pretty much I think,
yeah.
just meat
yeah.
and potatoes.
I don't know, Mike. You listen to the source
I listened
material.
To the
from
actual
Alive
shows that Alive was made of. Most of it was recorded in Wildwood.
I know Kiss, man. I know the vocals show. Were not that freaking good. As
oh,
they
yeah.
On that
they,
album.
Yeah, they doctored
they
a lot
doctored
of
a lot.
They
must have.
Paul Stanley's going down.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Has a lot to say about the equipment of recording a live show, too. Because
oh, yeah.
yeah.
We
oh,
were
yeah.
at a show last fucking summer at the Bruce show, and I got a recording of that show. It sounds fucking better than any of those fucking live albums. From Frampton Comes Alive to Kiss Alive 1 and 2. It sounds... And this guy just recorded it on a board out in the fucking crowd.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
sounds that good.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, that's just a... Sign of the Times at the
Frampton
equipment.
Comes Alive yeah. and Kiss Alive, man. That was like they were like dueling live
Kiss
albums
Alive
back
Kiss
then.
Kiss on
man.
The Map is what it did because yeah, they, you know, they had Rock and Roll All Night up until that point, I think, and you know that was.
But those
it.
Albums were huge, man.
Yeah. Frampton, you know, most Kiss fans albums. Didn't know what the hell Hotter or Hell was or the first one no. until after Alive.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Seeing we went
the imagery. You were like, whoa.
I thought Dressed to Kill was a really good album, personally. Yeah. You know, but it's they definitely progressed. I like The Destroyer and Love Gun was probably the most well-rounded album that they ever made.
I always love Destroyer. My heart is always
no
Destroyer
is awesome. But you know what? That's
Dynasty
Gene Simmons
is my favorite.
Great Expectations. The album is called Destroyer, dude. Fucking Destroyer.
Dynasty. That's fucking. That's Bob Ezrin.
God of Thunder, man. I mean, that's,
you know what's funny about that song? Paul Stanley actually wrote that song. I always thought Gene Simmons wrote. Paul Stanley wrote it. It just didn't fit. It didn't. Yeah, and it didn't fit him. Yeah. So that's Gene Simmons wound up playing it.
I have a funny story related to you, man. In
oh
Kiss.
Christ! Is this back in like Miss Hutter's class or some shit?
Miss Hutter. No, man, I just
we
remember,
you,
like,
Mrs.
Calabash, you know,
wherever you are.
Maybe this is where I got the image of you, like, when Jim Reyer showed up, man, it's like, uh-oh.
It's like the Grinch. You're still alive?
So I remember, like, it was, like, third or fourth grade, man, whenever Dynasty was out, and your brother was like, we were talking about Kiss concerts, man, like, back in the day, man, it's just like, you know, if you saw a Kiss concert, man, you're like, whoa, you know? Like, nobody sees Kiss concerts in real life, you know?
First concert I ever went to with my father.
So I remember your brother telling me that, you know, you saw Kiss. He's like, my brother went to see Kiss. I'm like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. You're lying,
did.
Man. You're lying.
That's what you're going to say, because you were jealous. No, he fucking
like,
did not.
It was my first concert. My father took me to
it. The next day, man.
I know the story that he's about to repeat.
Like, the next day, man, we're sitting at the lunch table, man, and you walked into the fucking lunchroom, and you, like, got in my face, man. You're like... You believe that I saw Kiss? And you fucking and you held up a ticket stub right
Look
in my face.
You
you're like, see? You're like, no, you were just like, see? And I'm like, and you're like, okay? I'm like, okay. And you walked away.
Hey, give me your fucking
nice.
Milk.
Give me your what?
And that was the first time. That's probably how I met you, man.
Gotcha.
That's probably
Sorry
my first,
that.
Probably my very first
Good job,
encounter.
Ryan,
with you.
He fucking shook the dude down and showed him your Kiss ticket.
I know, right?
He was very intimidating when we were younger.
Yeah, that's why I got beat up a lot. But that's okay. You know what? We're all doing good now. That's important.
It's always, you don't believe I saw Kiss? See? And you're just like, looked at me. You're like, okay? He's like, yeah, okay.
Acknowledge.
Mike, didn't your mom, you asked for Love Gun tickets for the Madison Square Garden show. Your mom said they're sold out. And you found out years later that the Garden shows weren't fucking sold out. And you called your mom out on it.
Yeah,
and Jim
like
Ryder got to go.
Well, I remember my mother.
The Kiss was sold out.
Well, my mother was my mother worked at the Ticketron in downstairs in Bamberger's, man.
Oh, so yeah, I remember that.
This was, you know, and they busted down the fucking doors for Zeppelin tickets, man. 77 tour, man. They fucking broke the glass doors, man. Shattered. So everything was like rock and roll, man. Like animals. Listen to that shit. Animals.
Kiss nights in like, Satan
call,
service.
Call work and see if you can get Kiss tickets. So she like faked the phone call, man. Like, yeah, they're sold out. She hung up.
She Santa Claused his ass.
But she used to do that.
I'm gonna call Santa.
She used to make like fake phone calls to Ticketron, man, to get Kiss tickets were sold out. I remember like the Love Gun tour was sold out. They're sold out. There's no ticket. Like Bruce Springsteen, the River Tour in 1980, sold out. And then Zeppelin was supposed to play again, man. We're like, we're gonna go see Led. And then Bonham died. Yeah. You know, and then they canceled it.
See, my father, he loved me. He took me to see Kiss. He didn't sell out.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, my father took me to see Kiss 5 years later.
You know what's funny? The funny thing is my father was not a big
Santa Claus.
My father was not a big Kiss fan. Like, he couldn't understand. He's like, it's a freaking gimmick, blah, blah, blah. I was just talking about this earlier. And when we went, Gene Simmons did he was up on top of the pile of Marshalls, too.
Yeah.
And flew down. He didn't jump down like Ted Nugent. He kind of flew down on.
Yeah,
the
you
thing.
Saw Dynasty, man.
Yeah.
But your dad saw the real Kiss. I dragged my poor dad to the Kiss Asylum tour in '85.
That's terrible.
They had more makeup on than the
girls
like in the
audience. Chinese torture, man. But now you know it made him. You know what? And he said afterwards, he's like, "Now I get it." He's like, "After," and he told me, you know, way later on in life, he's like, "I'll never forget seeing Gene Simmons coming down off that thing." He said that it had me right there.
I was talking to my dad yesterday about he survived Defenders of the Faith, man. Judas Priest, '84, man. He was right there, 12th row with us, man. Yeah. You know, 13 years old.
Together, Judas Priest.
Yeah, it was that same concert,
Screaming
man.
Screaming for Vengeance, I thought it was.
One of them. I think it was it
Your
Vengeance?
Your dad took us.
Yeah, my father took us. Yeah, we were pretending we were smoking cigarettes in the back of the Volkswagen. Yeah. I know that's not cigarettes.
And then the next day, man, I remember this because it was like we saw Priest. And it was like the next day we had to go to the church, man. We had to go to OLP to practice for confirmation or something like that.
Oh.
And we were supposed to be in suits or something. And I walked in with a priest shirt on, a Judas Priest
My
shirt
man.
On.
That's one way to get out of catechism.
Yeah. Man, I fought that shit tooth and nail the whole way.
Satan service
they
shit,
made me
man.
Do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I got beat up by OLP Church. Does that count?
Did you?
Oh, by the church.
Yeah.
Did the church beat you up?
No. That might have been better.
Years and years of CCD,
Wait,
man.
They have,
I don't
like,
remember
they hit
a single
people
teacher.
With rulers there, man.
I think they were still doing that shit back in the day.
Really?
In the
80s. We caught the tail end of that shit, man. Like
caught
when
the tail end of nasty teachers.
See, you had to actually to go to school in order for that to happen. So I was too busy.
I was too busy.
We went to my first impression of Keith, too, man. Speaking of your sixth grade party, man. Speaking of your sixth grade party, man. Keith is like a year younger.
Moon?
Yeah, Moon. Yeah, they called him Moon at the time, man. So like. He was like, what, a year younger than us or whatever?
Was
but
he,
we were like, he didn't go, but he didn't go to school with us, man. Wow. So he hung out with like Kevin and all them, and Kevin hung out like his older brother. You know, he rode a Harley, man, and so they hung out with those older kids, man.
Where'd Keith go to school? Or was
that's what I'm gonna say. I was like, this kid's so badass. This kid is so badass, man, that he doesn't even go to school. I was like, Keith. That was my impression
school
of Keith.
Comes
I told
to him.
I told So I told Keith this years later, man, and he was cracking up. I was like, yeah, man, like my impression of you back then, man, when we were like little kids, man, that you were like the king, bro. You went to like, you're
we
fucking
about
like,
the same guy?
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah,
little fucking
Keith
man.
Little
but
Keith.
But Ooh. It turns out, you know, but I remember he went to your fucking party and Kevin brought him.
Pig.
And so, and I remember he's
so
sitting there, man, and like
too.
Everybody, like, because I remember like And they were like guys, they were like scary, like people that I perceived as scary, man. And they were all kissing Moon's ass, man. They were all like surrounded by him. Like,
because he had two brothers like the that Godfather, would kill you.
Bro. This dude is like, this dude's like Don Corleone, man. Like, they were like, I was like, what is it about this kid, man, that everybody's like so like, I told him about this years later, man. I was like, holy! And I was like, this dude is so badass. Like, he doesn't even go to school, man. He's so cool, man. Like, because he didn't go to school. He didn't go to our school. I was like, who is this kid? Like, where did he come from?
When you told him about,
he was just laughing, man. He was just laughing. But I told him, like, I wrote a book, man. Like, I wrote a book about, like, you know, back in the day, man. So his name is Frank Zappa in my book. Oh. You know, because back then his name was Keith Moon.
Is it possible to get a copy of that?
At some point, man.
All right. Some point. I'd love to check it out.
That whole Truxus crew and all that. Man, yeah. They were nothing but trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Loved
but,
it.
But he's going to be on our show for the Dead episode in a month and a half.
Yeah, I've always liked Keith.
That'll be awesome.
He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might just have to come around just to say hey.
He comes around once in a while.
Yeah, I'd like to see him. We talk on Facebook. Yeah.
You're a buzzkill, man.
I looked at the time. I looked at the time.
I booted a room just like.
No, yeah. Shit, we might as well leave now.
I'm not even going to edit
that.
That's
a fucking rap. I'm done.
A lot of this. Yeah.
Mic drop. Oh, man. That should be it.
Okay, show's over.
No, absolutely.
Well, where do we even begin? Where do we even begin to wrap this show up, though?
No, this show could keep going. That's the funny thing. This is the type of like open-ended discussion that we can sit here until tomorrow morning. And like,
oh, yeah. This was us that night, Mike, sitting at the bar, and people were listening to us have a conversation.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this was, and that's what we hope everybody out there
that's,
is getting
that's
from
That's actually yeah, what we try to achieve each time with this whole thing, with this whole podcast. And I know we have a lot of listeners and a lot of people that just came on board through our recent posts on Facebook. You know, every once in a while we'll do something like this. Today's episode was basically a bunch of guys,
old people,
local people who just kind of hey man, growing up playing guitar, man, we're all connected by music,
kicking it
and
back.
I wanted it to kind of be an extension of like our whole episode that we did a couple months back, how the guitar became uncool. And it kind of like paralleled by an article going around in the last couple of months, how like the death of the guitar, the death
guitar
of the electric guitar, man,
going bankrupt, and
yeah, that guitar sales are down. Right. But
they're
nobody's playing.
They want to go on a computer and do it.
Instead, yeah. they'd rather try and overcharge you, because some fucking snot-nosed kid's not going in to buy it. You know.
But it's all connected to the fact that, I mean, kids are not getting, they don't have the access to rock music the way we once did, man. I mean, you know, somebody will argue that point and say, well, it's out there, you just got to look for it.
Right.
It's bullshit. Yeah,
it's all the liberals' fault.
I mean, it is, you just got to find, you do have to look. I mean, it's easier to get. It's definitely easier. If it's out there, you have to find it.
But when Judas Priest released a new album, everybody knew about it, man. Like, you counted the days, man. You knew, like, it was like...
Well, yeah, but there was also the thing where you had to, like, kind of work or one way or another to buy it, you know, and whatever. I'll never forget when I bought my first album, I was like, yes! Kids don't have that anymore today.
No, they you went, you it, bought you the album, yeah. You came home, iTunes, you it. Opened it, you read the liner notes.
Right, but I'm saying that like the heroes, man, the stuff that the kids are listening to now is not rock. It's not
no,
guitarists,
no,
man.
Taylor Swift, you know,
if there's
like
a guitar involved, it's Justin Bieber, man.
Drawing thing to a guitar, which is the truth. Like, she draws more kids to a guitar nowadays. Yeah. Taylor Swift, no disrespect, but...
Hey, if that's what it takes.
Well, yeah, but you know what? But it's not working like that. It's not. It doesn't have the effect like it did with Van Halen or Jimmy Page or any of our guitar heroes.
So this is
like
five
that.
Old farts reminiscing about a time when the guitar was the center of our lives, man.
There
and,
are
and
no
rock
more
music
guitar
was
heroes.
The center. And
you're my guitar hero, Eric.
Let me ask a quick question to you guitar player guys.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, it's another food for thought question.
Agree
man.
On something?
Maybe you might right now. Not. I'm listening to Live at Leeds the other night. Tell me, guitar players, why does Pete Townsend's name never come up when we talk about guitar players?
Because Pete Townsend is a great rhythm guitarist.
Is he underrated?
He was a great writer, too. He's a genius, I think. Genius.
Playing though,
He was a better rhythm guitar player than
you don't want to ask me that question.
Absolutely.
The Who was about rhythm. It was about the bottom. It was about the bass, the drums, and Townsend just created his big fucking Jackson Pollock like mess on top of it.
Yeah. You know, and I am not, I am famously not a Who fan. You guys all know that. However, I'm going to definitely agree with what Mike just said, because Entwistle and Moon were just ridiculous.
Who was about the bass and the drums,
you could play
man.
A fucking Fisher Price guitar over that fucking bad. Bottom end. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's just the foundation of a good rock and roll song is its rhythm.
But if anybody questions his ability, man, listen to Tommy, man. Listen to those chords, man. Listen to the chord progressions, man. Listen to the stuff that fucking progressions that were not existent, man.
What he wrote was incredible.
And I've even said that, as much as I dislike the band.
Yeah,
he's not a great.
I would even say genius.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, Townsend is an artist before a guitarist, man.
You know, it's funny for.
But you know that I love and appreciate everything.
No, you know what?
If
again,
you're
it's
doing
all,
your thing and it makes you happy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's all perspective. It's all perspective. It's all perspective. It's all what you like. I like.
It's your opinion.
Guitar players. I'm looking for, like, the best musician in the band. You know, like, the best musician is not always the guitar player. And even back then, Entwistle was a much better player than Pete Townsend at his instrument.
You're right.
John Bonham and Jimmy Page were not the best musician in Led Zeppelin. John Paul Jones was.
Interesting.
I agree there.
He played it all. Yeah. And he was and he could play it. He played mandolin. He played keyboards. He played bass.
And he was a good composer. Especially at the end, especially at the tail end of Zeppelin, he was the glue to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
he was the foundation.
In Through the Outdoor, that's basically him.
It is, and they called in Robert Plant to sing on it.
Now, when I say musician, I mean just as a whole, not like Jimmy Page is an icon, a guitar player, but the best musician in that band, in my opinion, was John Paul.
Yeah.
So it's all perspective.
Yeah,
I love everybody.
Definitely.
We've loosened up with age, man.
It's funny, man. Like, don't you guys have a similar experience to me, man? Don't you love some acts now that you actually hated on back in the day? Are there any examples of that in your life? I listen to goddamn Culture Club, and I love the goddamn records, man. I'm like, eighth grade, man. You don't take it that far.
No.
I go that far. But
no, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what? It's that music, what it represents to me is what, like... What I did not like about the 80s, and then what eventually led into killing my 80s beloved metal. So, you know, it's just, it's got its place. I'm not a fan of that stuff.
I am a closet pop fan.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm a hip hop fan. He says I ain't even in the closet.
To Culture Club. I love it all.
Yeah. Mike, were you there when I was at karaoke singing Snoop Dogg last week?
All. Yeah. Yeah.
What is it I'm liking?
No way. I'd have paid to see that.
The gin and juice.
Gin and juice.
Awesome.
The Gourds do a version of gin and juice. Look it up. Oh, it's way better, dude. It's all. Yeah, they're like this blue.
You're getting much better than Dr. Dre on a production, man.
They're this bluegrass band, and they do gin and juice. Look it up by the Gourds.
I'll check it out.
You're
going to
love
it,
dude. I don't know. Is there anything out there that I was. Hating on. I hated everything back then.
All right, I have a question. Let's do a round table. What Eric, what are you listening to now?
Actually, I've been really getting into the old Soundgarden again.
Nice. Jim?
Well, I'm going to have to answer this question two ways, simply for the fact that I'm getting ready to audition for a Tesla tribute band. So I'm listening to Tesla, lots of it. But
willingly?
On the whole... Tesla tribute band. You heard that right. Stay tuned.
Wow.
I'm still listening to what I got in my player. Always Rush, but
nice.
I got something new in my player. What do I got? I don't know.
Doesn't have to be new.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about
No, not at all. He said Soundgarden. What are you listening to now? Because he said Soundgarden, and up until about a week ago, I was listening to Soundgarden again after Chris died as well.
Yeah, very talented guy. I really liked Chris Cornell.
Winery Dogs, I'm listening to again, believe it or not.
What's in my player? Just hold on a minute now. I got
to
think about
it. It's a tough question to answer. It's deceptive.
Yeah, because I keep switching what's in my player.
It sounds like it's all you're listening to. You know what I mean? Like,
if you had a choice, you know, okay.
I'm still listening to Dio, or like the first three Dio albums.
The other night, you did the Two Strokes record.
Vivian Campbell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
There you go. Heaven and Hell. It's a great fucking record, man.
Yeah, I just met Vivian Campbell not that long ago. He's my idol for the 80s, so, you know, it was nice.
Mike posted a picture the other night. It was two records from the Strokes that he was listening to, so I was just curious
It's ever-changing as far as what I put in my CD player.
What do you listen to a lot?
All about CDs.
Winery Dogs again.
Winery Dogs,
the first Winery Dogs record. I have 550 songs on that device right there, and it plugs into my radio.
Nice.
You want to talk about... I mean, I could literally sit here and thumb through that thing, and you'd be like, what the fuck do you have on your phone?
I'd be like, cool,
You know what was on? Bruno Mars was on the... I
just listened to a Bruno Mars song the other day, one that I actually like. There's one that I like, and it took me... They played it at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. It's got a good beat to it. Something about God or whatever.
Locked Out of Heaven.
It is a good song. Yeah.
The beat in that song, I'm not a Bruno Mars fan by any means, but I can appreciate the sound of it. He can sing. The production and the beat, and it just stuck in my head. I'm like, wow, that's a great fucking song.
There's one on his new record called 24 Karat Magic. Same effect.
All right, I'll have to check it out. See, I'm not averse to that. It's like, whoa. My mind is much more open than it used to be. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Back in the 80s.
We all are.
That's why
I was curious as to what everybody was listening to right now. And
with the pop stuff, man, 70s or 80s?
Both.
Yeah. Where is your heart with most, man?
Gun to your head.
Both.
Yeah, let's do gun to the head, man.
I have to pick.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
choose
70s. Then
I'm gonna go 80s.
You're gonna know it.
Yeah, man.
That's what I always say when I'm doing something. Just pretend you had a fucking gun in your head.
Yeah, man.
You'll do it. You'll find a way.
All right, who had the worst hair, man? The lead singer of Crocus or Eric Carmen?
Crocus. Crocus. I'll do you one better. Kevin Dubrow had worse hair than that fucking...
No.
Took it out of my mouth.
Hey. Not,
I had the worst hair in fucking metal.
No, not when he got the deal, though, man.
Yeah,
he looked
when
great.
He got the deal, he looked good.
He looked great.
That motherfucker didn't grow that mean
hair. Every once in a while, I have to ask that question, man.
Crocus.
The question of the dude from Crocus, man.
Screaming in the night.
That song is awesome.
Oh, my God. Crocus was horrible.
I agree with that song.
I agree with that song was horrible.
No.
That song was memorable. Yeah,
somebody else got another gun. Gun
to the head question.
Geez.
Is there anything you guys want to bring up? I mean, you know, your guest's on our show. I mean, both listen. We know that.
This has been just awesome throwing it around like this.
Any suggestions or anything about what we do, how we can change it, if it's, you know, bad for worse, whatever, but for good?
Criticism.
No, you know what? I
keep
dig it.
Doing I'm just what you guys do, man, because I love it.
Trying to think of another gun to the head question.
But we can't say Jimmy Page or Ace Frehley because we we've already gotten to the bottom of that one.
Great white or killer whale?
Sabbath. All right, I got one.
Who would you rather be eaten by?
Sabbath with Dio or Sabbath with Ozzy?
Ozzy.
Jim?
No doubt.
Me too. No doubt.
Ozzy. Well, you know what?
All of us are on Ozzy.
Yeah, it's just Dio was good, but the band had changed by the time Dio got in. Dio was better when he was just Dio. When he finally got rid of everything else and became Dio.
I agree.
That was the best stuff he ever did.
The Zeppelin rhythm section or the Who rhythm section? Bass
Zeppelin.
Player and drummer.
Zeppelin.
Wow. Yeah, that's absolutely. Tough. I gotta go.
Well, you shouldn't have to think about that, Pat.
I gotta go with Zeppelin.
Zeppelin.
You take Zeppelin over to Who. Yeah.
The Who. I mean, it's just, it's close because the Who.
It is
I
close,
hate,
but Zeppelin. Zeppelin
I hate
is.
The Who. I really do hate that.
I think that.
But their rhythm section is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
John
Paul.
That's my favorite rhythm section. Eh? Whistling Moon, man.
I'm going Who.
Who?
All right.
Who?
Some of Entwistle's bass lines are just fucking.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, that's all he did was play bass. John Paul Jones. Yeah. He played so much more.
The rhythm section.
Oh, the
rhythm section.
Zeppelin or the Who? It's tough.
The gun is to your head,
especially
man.
When you love both
bands. You're dead.
Zeppelin.
Time's up.
Dead.
Zeppelin.
Sorry, his answer doesn't count because his brains are all over the place.
My brains
epic
are all
fail.
Over the place.
They're all over Stick's shoulder.
See, that's the point, man. I ask a fucking hard question, man.
It's difficult, man, when you got to, you know, yeah, you're pressed to make that decision.
Especially I mean, when it's two bands you love.
Yeah, and we all kind of agreed on the Ozzy thing rather quickly.
All right,
I'd be
real
dead
fast.
Every time, man.
Yeah. Best 80s metal singer. Go.
Best 80s metal singer? Rob Halford.
Yeah, Halford.
Bruce Dickinson.
Wow. I'm going to say Ozzy.
I'm going to go Rob Halford.
Oh, you can talk about Halford
70s, too. Yeah, I mean, I could see where you guys coming from with the Halford, too, though. So,
yeah.
That's tough.
No love for Bruce.
No, no, no. He, you know what?
Bruce would be awesome a close too. Second.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing, and again, you know what? And I hate to say it. Iron Maiden is great live. I've seen him a couple times. But Dickinson, he cannot hit the notes in his prime even, not the way Halford could. No.
Dickinson has aged better, though. Yeah, like right now, Dickinson will fucking take all over.
Yeah, no. You're right. He's but when he was doing that repetitively for 200 shows a night, blah blah blah, he burned himself out and he couldn't hit a lot of them high notes. Even if you listen to Live After Death, like versus where Priest was in their prime, Halford could still hit them notes. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's just both great. Yep. I'd have either one of them in my band.
Hey, I like to
see. Good enough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I like to see him from Rat, man.
I thought he was a plumber.
He might be a plumber, but
Don Dokken.
Don Dokken.
Don Dokken. All right, we're shutting this program down.
Shut this shit
down.
This is a good show, thanks.
Much love to everybody. One quick thing, man. The website is out. Everybody on Facebook who's seen the announcement, the website is out. We are currently working on it. We're going to have some more pictures up there, some more bio stuff. All our shows are there. You can get to hear the 3-hour Christmas
episode. Yes, our controversial Christmas episode that got fucking taken off.
Oh, wow.
Check it fucking out.
We got banned on YouTube, man.
Yeah, man. Need a little controversy.
Why? Now I got to hear it.
Yeah, now I did. You know,
check out.
We'll see you guys next time. Peace out.
Later.
Later. Pouring on me, bad news keep pouring.